Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Good morning.
How's it going?
You are John D. Ruddy.
I am indeed.
And you have spoken to us before. We had a good old laugh because you like comedy and you like history.
All sorts of different stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Great combination. You're an artist, an actor, a teacher and a writer, but you're a Donegal man. So we said we'd catch up with you while we're here at the Diamond.
Letterkenny. The better town.
Now the fight starts. But obviously we were in the hood. So we
not
said,
to toss. Donegal's a beautiful town.
It's lovely here today, isn't it? Look at that. That kid's still running around in circles there with the stick, which is great. Just the simple things, isn't it? Reminder, listeners, why we were chatting the last time.
Well, last time we were actually chatting, I was on doing a couple of different Star Wars impressions. So I'm a kind of a jack of all trades, a master of none. But no, so I was on chatting away about doing some Star Wars impressions, and then a couple other times we were chatting, I was chatting about some of the history videos that I was doing.
Yes.
And I do a series of history videos on YouTube. It's Irish history in 6 minutes, World War One in 6 minutes, World War Two in 7 minutes, and loads of different ones.
And are these? I mean, they're all factually correct, aren't they? In terms of
the
information you get, there's not made up. So if a teacher, particularly in primary school, maybe wants to say to kids, "Look, you can do a whole era in 6 minutes through cartoon." You can say there, and if you like it, we can go back to the bits you like.
Exactly, and it works. Loads of teachers, it's amazing, loads of teachers across the world are using it, you know, because it's on YouTube.
Are they?
There's teachers over in the States and all across Europe, you know, using them in the class. Like, you know, there's the whole channel itself has about 2 million views, like, so.
That must be.
And growing.
And growing, that's brilliant.
And so, it's great crack altogether, and... it condenses it, and because history's so easy to become boring. And
that's right.
And as I'm sitting there writing them, I'm working on one on the Napoleonic Wars at the moment, and I'm reading all the stuff, and I'm going, this is so exciting, it's so interesting, and you know, and then I remember back to my junior shirt history teacher, and I just get so annoyed with him because I'm like, how can you make this stuff boring?
That's right.
You know, it just leaps off the page.
Exactly.
You know? And sometimes it can be just reduced down to dates and names, and you know, and it's just,
well, if you have a teacher who doesn't really love their job, you're finished for a whole bunch of kids. But if you have one that does, and I'm not talking, I have no one, not all teachers don't have to be captain my captain, but just if they can only just trying to share the passion, then you're in.
Exactly.
So you've got that. What are teachers saying to you about or about the potted histories in terms of?
They've been saying just how helpful it is. Both. It works great as an introduction, because you know, let's say they're about to start into teaching World War One, so they'll show my video, and then it'll give the class a whole sense of, you know, of what it was about. Because you know, I chose World War One especially to start off with because it was like, most people, it's like, what do you know about World War One? Trenches, Germany, Britain, I don't know. And so I was like, right, well, I'm going to fill in the gaps there. But then once the kids have finished learning it, then it just works as a great recap because then all the stuff that they've picked up on, they then see it in context in the video. And primary students and second level, you know, it's very, very accessible. And, you know, people who are interested in history will love it. People who aren't interested in history will love it. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win situation.
Okay, you're also a nerd. So with that in mind, you've got a Star Wars thing going on. What else do you like to watch? Are you like Star Trek as well?
I'd lean more towards the Star Wars than the Star Trek. Big Lord of the Rings fan, big Game of Thrones fan, you know, all those, anything where it's not this world, it's some other magical, mystical world.
To get away from this world. And your mimicry comes from, I mean, were you the sort of guy in school? Did you do the teachers?
I did indeed. I remember actually our principal in secondary school, he had a great just simple shout. He would just, you know, shout down the corridor, just, "Hi!" And I was the bane of some of the lads where, you know, you'd see some of the lads, you know, messing down in the corridors, you know, it's like banging on the lockers or something. I just shout out, "Hey!" And all of a sudden, they'd be looking, and they'd see me, "Hi, come on."
Star Wars wise, who do you like to do?
Star Wars, all sorts, Darth Vader, the Emperor, all... Who else?
Can you give us a bit of Darth? And
Darth Vader.
Could Darth Vader have a chat with Yoda, maybe?
Well... Yeah, yeah.
Is there something in that?
There's just something potentially.
You've got to get the.
I have to get the Jerry Adams going on.
I actually have to turn my neck and kind of change gear in my voice. It's kind of a weird one. Yeah, you know, so he starts having. We meet for the first and last time, Master Yoda.
Powerful you have become, Darth Vader. Although we have never actually met in the movies, but this is a first for the RTE 2FM extravaganza.
We better make it funny then now, shall, won't we?
It's difficult to do while under pressure, but we'll see what we can do.
You got the full.
Yeah, there you go. All the sound effects.
I like the way
effects.
You brought out the lightsaber.
Larval Jones from Police Academy, you know, all the sound effects.
Yeah, they're all good. Yeah, he's very good. No, you've got all
I'm
those.
I'm a bloody jukebox.
You do Dara Breen.
Well, think about Dara Breen. You know, he's kind of keep on talking. You know, I'm always having like, you know, she's, and just all the words just kind of just spill together. So, just make it up as you go along, really. And, you know, because this is the way he just does it. You know, you just have to, and you have to get the shake in as well, you know, as you're doing it. You know, like, they can't see it on the radio, but you naturally do it.
So, what do you do with all these things then? I mean, you've got a whole box of tricks there.
Well, yeah, I do a bit of acting. I've actually done a couple of radio plays now, actually, down in for Drama on One.
With Kevin Reynolds.
Absolutely, the gentleman.
Yes.
And. So I've been kind of putting them kind of to different uses, you know, doing a couple of different plays and whatnot in Dublin as well. I'm working on one actually. Next year, we did it last year. Should be bringing it back again about the Easter Rising, as a Joe Byrne play. McCaig and O'Brien presented The Rising, and by way of interludes, World War One, and so it's a Belfast Unionist and a Dublin Republican telling the story of the Easter Rising.
Oh, that's great!
And,
that sounds like
madness
a lot of fun.
Ensues.
Madness, yeah. Okay, the history of Ireland in 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that humanly possible on the radio?
We shall find out. I've condensed my 6 minute script to two and a half minutes.
If you're not from Ireland and you're listening to this on your rented car today, and
don't
you're just,
judge us.
Yeah, you don't. Or maybe you just don't want to visit the country, or you don't want to do all the museums. Here's Ireland in 2.5 minutes. John, go.
Oh, just had a degree.
Have a sip of water there.
All right, here we go. First, the Stone Age men built big tombs. Then the Celtic culture came to Ireland and they enjoyed telling stories, stealing cows and having a crack. Then St. Patrick brought Christianity. Many monks set up monasteries. Then the Vikings came and started raiding. Some decided to settle down and stay. The King of Leinster asked for help from the Normans in England, so Strongbow came and defeated the Irish and the Vikings and became the new King of Leinster, beginning Norman rule in Ireland. The English king was worried they'd set up a separate kingdom and laid down the law banning Normans to marry Irish or speak Irish. When Henry VIII wanted a divorce, he split from the Catholic Church and became head of his own church, stripping the monks of their power and destroying many monasteries. His daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, tried to set up plantations in Leash and Offaly and Munster, but they failed. Ulster chieftains fought against Elizabeth but were defeated at the Battle of Kinsale. Hugh O'Neill eventually surrendered and the new King of England, James I, made them earls. They soon discovered they had little real power and left Ireland to return with a great big army, but they never came back. The flight of the earls left Ireland up for grabs. King James set up the Ulster plantations, sending over many settlers from England and Scotland. The threatened native massacred many of the planters. The Puritan Olaf Cromwell, who'd taken control of England, came to Ireland and rose from hell. Ultimately, the native Irish were told to head west, to hell or to Connacht. Two rival English kings fought at the Battle of the Boyne, William of Orange coming out on top. He agreed to give the Irish their land back, but the English Parliament laid down the penal laws instead, clamping down on Catholic and Presbyterian rights. Theobald Wolfetone led his own Republican rebellion, but failed. Rule was taken away from Ireland and ruled directly from London. When the potatoes failed with blight year after year, the neglected Irish lost millions of people through starvation, disease and emigration. Demand for home rule grew in Ireland, but not in Ulster, as the Unionists vowed to fight against it. World War I started and home rule was put on hold. During the war, Irish Republicans staged a rebellion in Dublin. The leaders were executed and Republican attitudes grew. More Irish fought a guerrilla war against England, forcing them to negotiate. Most of Ulster opted out of Irish independence and Northern Ireland was created. Ireland was given a free state still loyal to Britain. Some disagreed and the Civil War broke out. The Free Staters won and Ireland ultimately became a fully fledged independent republic. Trouble broke out in the north as Catholics marched for equal rights, and after decades of war it now enjoys a bright future. The Republic joined the EU and ultimately the time of the Celtic Tiger brought loads of money to the country, but the property reliant economy burst and billions was pumped into the banks to try and save them. We're trucking along, however. Times are tough, but they've been worse. As long as we've got modern music, our culture, and our pretty little country. What's another year?
Hey, that's great stuff. Ireland in 2.5 minutes. Ah, oh, John, that's excellent. John D. Ruddy. Where do we go on YouTube to find your work?
Well, you can, my username is Rudd the Spud, but if you just even type in World War One in 6 minutes, you'll find me. Or what's actually even cool now is even if you just type in World War One in Google, it's actually like one of the first ones pop up. Brilliant. Or you type in the French Revolution, you see my, you know,
it's all going on.
It's all there. So it's Manny Man does the Irish history, you know. So Manny Man's the little character who I use in it. So
yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing, bringing history alive and nice and short as well, which people don't have the time.
That's it too.
John, it's been lovely to talk to you and to see you here in the Chip Van this morning. Thanks for coming along from Letterkenny to see us here in Donegal.
Absolutely.
Good luck with everything.
Thanks very much.
All right, 12:13 to 10 o'clock, live from Donegal, back shortly.